a good Erev Shabbos Parshas Vayigash. He could still remember the words of advice from Eric Miles, his college guidance counselor. Julian, if you want to succeed in investment banking, you're going to have to hold off on getting married and having kids for many years. It's a grueling and demanding field. You'll have to put in well over 100 hours a week. You won't have the time, emotional energy, or mental focus for family. Julian took those words to heart. And for years, he made it clear to every girl he dated that marriage and children were not in his near future. Because as Mr. Miles told him, if you wanted to thrive, he had to prioritize his limited time and resources. That conversation with Mr. Miles was over 10 years ago. And now, all these years later, Julian couldn't help but feeling disillusioned. He was already 33. His hairline was starting to recede. And at the moment, he didn't even have a serious girlfriend. It was slightly over 6 months ago that the last one eventually left him due to his stubbornness and unwillingness to commit. Yes, he did have a good job at Deutsche Bank. But what really bothered him was that despite the fact that almost all of his close friends from college not following the same path as him, most of them were already married, some even had children, despite him being the only responsible, career-focused one, the only one who put in the sincere effort and real personal sacrifice, but somehow all of them, everyone who was married with kids, seemed to be either equal to or even more advanced in their careers than he was. And this seemed to be true even for those who were in the same field of investment banking like himself. And he did not understand, where had he gone wrong? Why wasn't he further along in his field than his married friends? Wasn't he going about it the right way for the purpose of career advancement? And it wasn't only him. Of all his close friends from growing up, the ones who were still single weren't any farther along in their careers than their married counterparts. What was Julian missing? What did he miscalculate? Was there something else he wasn't accounting for? Was Mr. Miles wrong? The family feud had finally come to an end. After the intensely dramatic back and forth, Yosef revealed himself to his brothers. After crying and consoling each other, Yosef and his brothers decided that the entire family, all 11 of them, with their wives and children, together with their elderly father Yaakov, would move down to Egypt. The whole Gantz Mishpucha. And logistically speaking, we would think that Paro, the leader of Egypt, Yosef's boss, wouldn't exactly be thrilled by this latest development. Here Paro had in Yosef a brilliant underling, a man who had single-handedly orchestrated Egypt during turning a period of famine into a financial windfall for the country. Yosef had given his heart and soul to the project, so much so that he was the one personally overseeing the dispensation of the grain. An incredibly committed employee who was able to devote his time and energy to the project. And now, all that was at jeopardy of changing. The arrival of Yosef's elderly father and extended family would only mean one thing: a drain on his time, energy, and resources. How much time would Yosef have to commit to tend to his father? Who knows how many birthday parties, bar mitzvahs, family brunches, and barbecues that Yosef would now be expected to attend? Until now, Yosef was fully devoted to his job and country. His family's arrival would serve as a distraction at best. No doubt Paro wouldn't be excited, wouldn't be enthused by this. And yet, the Torah tells us he had the exact opposite reaction. Vayitav hadavar be'enei Paro. The Torah relates that not only was Paro excited about the idea of Yosef's family coming down to Egypt, not only did he endorse it, but he did everything he could to help bring them down as quickly as possible. He supplied the wagons, the food supplies, and an entourage of Egyptian soldiers to escort the family back to Egypt. Why? Why was Paro so enthralled with Yosef's family coming? It wasn't as if there was a risk of Yosef leaving and heading back to Israel to be with his father. Yosef was brought down to Egypt as a slave. I was never fully granted his freedom. He had no rights to leave. Hence, that's why he didn't join the entourage back to Israel to go pick up his father. Additionally, in last week's parsha, the Torah informed us that Egyptians had such disgust towards the Jews that in Egypt it was considered repulsive to dine with a Jew. Restaurants had signs on their doors: no dogs or Jews. Jews weren't welcome in Egyptian society. But despite all this, despite the logistical and sociological reasons against, Paro deeply wanted Yosef's family in Egypt. Why? What benefit was there to be gained? Sociologists were surprised by stories similar to Julian's and decided to conduct research to find out what was really going on. Who really were the better employees? Singles or marrieds? Was being married really a detriment to commitment and advancement in the workplace? Before conducting the research, the assumption was like that which we would all think intuitively: a single employee is a better employee. Singles are the masters over their schedule. They can devote more time at work late at night. They can come to work on the weekends. And they're able to go on business trips to foreign time zones for weeks at a time. All of these activities without receiving any backlash at home for their absence. To put it simply, singles don't have other people competing for their time and attention. Additionally, married life, especially with children, isn't just time consuming. It's emotionally and physically taxing and draining. Married life adds stress. Little children keep parents up at night. Raising kids can be exceedingly emotionally exhausting. But singles aren't responsible for anyone other than themselves. They have the incredible benefit of being able to use their downtime from work as downtime. When they come back to work the next day or after a weekend or vacation, they can be fully refreshed and recharged. It would seem to be obvious that single employees should be better. And the thought was that without a doubt, the research would reflect that truth. And yet, study after study has demonstrated the opposite to be true. Despite all the added time constraints that family life so charitably offers, men actually increase their hours at work after marrying and decrease after divorcing. On average, married men work about 400 hours more per year than their single peers with equivalent backgrounds. A study out of Harvard showed that married men are much less likely to get fired or quit their job. And they're much more likely to get hired and promoted. On average, married men make over $16,000 more annually than their single peers. That's even after controlling for differences in education, race, ethnicity, regional unemployment, and scores on general knowledge tests. And a study done on identical twins demonstrated that when one twin was married and the other was single, the married one, on average, made 26% more in annual salary. So why is that? Why, despite all the factors going against them, does the evidence suggest that married employees are more successful, are harder workers, and better to have in your company? While there have been studies that seem to suggest that married men benefit from the advice and encouragement of their wives, but even more importantly than that is the sense of responsibility that a married man has, especially one with children. The awareness that he is responsible for the well-being of other people, and that realization consequently affects his level of commitment and investment towards his job and career. He is now, as a married man, on an entirely different plane. A married man isn't just working for himself, for his own success and financial security. A married man works for his wife, his children, his family. More important than his own future is their future. A house to buy one day, school tuitions, summer camps, clothing, food, weddings, etc. All of that weighs on a married man's shoulders. And that sense of responsibility creates a level of commitment and devotion that drives and pushes them to give their all to their jobs and careers for the sake of their families. They'll work hard to get promoted, to get salary bumps, to ensure their job security, because their livelihood is crucial to taking care of their family. A married man understands that his success at work, the financial success of his company, means financial security for his family. In a sense, a married man isn't only working for his company, but he's working for his wife and children as well. And that's why they're more invested. And explains the 16th century Italian scholar Rav Avadya Sforno in his commentary on the Torah, that Power understood this as well. When we aren't working only for ourselves, but for our family as well, we work harder. When we have more skin in the game, then we are more devoted. And when Paro first met Yosef, here was this single man with no family at all. And while yes, it meant he would be able to fully devote his time and energy to his role as viceroy over Egypt, but Paro understood that in order for Yosef to give his heart and soul to the success of Egypt, he had to be personally invested in their success. It had to be more than just a job or career. It had to matter to him personally. So first things first, he wanted to make sure Yosef identified himself as an Egyptian. So Paro immediately changes his name. He says, Yosef, you're no longer Yosef, now you are Tzafnas Paneach. He gave him an Egyptian name, so Yosef could feel like he was part of them, that Egypt's success would be his success. And then right after that, Paro finds Yosef a wife. Yes, Paro. Paro is Yosef's shadchan, his matchmaker. Because as we all now know, a married man with children will be much more invested in his job, knowing he has to put bread on the table for his family. And after this, Paro thought everything was set. Yosef is now an Egyptian man with a family. His heart and soul would be in his career and his job. And then everything was torn asunder. Yosef's brothers' arrival in Egypt flipped everything on its head. And from five key words that Yosef uttered to his brothers, it became clear to Paro that something was still missing from his elaborate plan for Yosef's assimilation. Because after all the back and forth between Yosef and his brothers, Yosef uttered five words. Ani Yosef ha'od avi chai. I'm not Safnas Peneach. I'm not some Egyptian viceroy. Ich bin Yosef. I'm still Yosef. And my father isn't Paro. It's Yaakov ha'od avi chai. I'm still a Jew. I'm still part of your family. And in that moment, Paro realized that even after all he had done, Yosef still viewed himself as a foreigner in Egypt. He wasn't one of them. And Paro knew that he needed his Yosef to be fully invested in the success of the country for the Egyptian dominance to continue. He needed his Midas men. He needed Yosef to be one of them. Yosef couldn't just view himself as a stranger with an important position in a foreign country. He needed to personally care about the well-being of Egypt's citizens. Their success had to be of import to him. So as much as the arrival of Yosef's family in Egypt would serve as a distraction and strain on his time, but would also mean that now Yosef would be more invested in ensuring the success of his role and the entirety of Egypt. Because now Yosef wasn't just a resident alien working for the government of a foreign country. No. Now, his entire family would reside in Egypt. Yosef wasn't just working for himself anymore, or for a paycheck. He was now working for his family. And that meant that Egypt's success would be the success of his own family as well. And lo and behold, that's exactly what played out. The rest of the Parsha, after Yosef's family arrives in Egypt, speaks in extreme detail just how devoted Yosef was to the continued financial success of Egypt. Because Yosef wasn't only working for himself, he was working for his family as well. When we understand that our personal success has a direct effect on our spouses, our children, our families, and we take our roles more seriously. We are more devoted. We work harder. And while anyone who has a family can readily appreciate that this is true in the realm of our jobs and careers, however, there is an area of our lives where we may not realize, but this is equally relevant as well. What about our roles as members of the Jewish people? How do we perceive ourselves? Do we view ourselves as single, as bachelors? Do we tell ourselves that how I serve God only affects me? My Torah commitment only impacts myself? Or do we realize that when it comes to serving God, we are members of a much larger family? Our commitment to Torah impacts not only our spouses, our children, but every single Jew. The Talmud relates, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. Every Jew is responsible as an impact on one another. When we pray, we aren't only praying for ourselves. We are praying for all of Klal Yisrael, for the entire Jewish people. That is why the entirety of the Amidah of Shemona Esrei is written in the plural. When we learn Torah and do mitzvos, we aren't only learning for ourselves. It isn't only our hand that performs the mitzvah. Rather, we learn and engage in mitzvos on behalf of all those whom, for whatever reason, cannot or do not engage in Torah and mitzvos. There are no singles in the Jewish people. We are all working on behalf of each other. And just imagine how much deeper and more meaningful our Judaism could be when we realize that our observance impacts every single Jew in the world. Because we are all sisters and brothers. One big family. And what we do has an impact not only on ourselves, but impacts our spouses, our children, our siblings, our friends, our community, our country, our people, and ultimately the entirety of creation. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that at every moment each person should realize that they have it in their hand to change the world, to turn the tide for good. That perhaps one more mitzvah, one more good deed can change the course of humanity and bring us all to the Messianic era, when we will merit to see no more evil, no more pain, no more suffering. That is the power of what it means to be part of a family. I want to close with a blessing that each and every one of us should appreciate the power of our actions and to realize how important each and every one of us are to the success and health of each other, to the Jewish people. Because at the end of the day, we are all in it together. Good Shabbos.